Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, why don't we open our Bibles tonight to Romans, the 14th chapter, which has become our text for this series that we're doing, entitled, Thou Shall Enjoy Life. It's a command from God. God expects you to enjoy life, to enjoy yourself in Him. He came to give you an absolutely overwhelming, overflowing life. That's what He came to give you. He came to give us days of heaven right here on the earth. He's called us into His kingdom, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Romans chapter 14 sums it up for us in three words. Chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. That's the kingdom of God. Kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. And thank God you and I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We could never have done it by our own works, but by the mercy and grace of God, Jesus came. God came in the form of a man, became a sacrifice for you and I, and bore our unrighteousness in His own body on a cross 2,000 years ago, so that those who believed in Him would become His righteousness. He bore our unrighteousness so we can wear His righteousness and wear it like a robe. Glory to God. If you have Jesus as Lord of your life, you're wearing some beautiful garments tonight. For one, you're wearing the righteousness of God. You are in right standing with God. His righteousness is in you now. Righteousness is your very nature now. It is your nature to desire to do rightly, to do rightly according to God, according to His way of doing things, which would be according to His word, because His word instructs us in His way of doing things. So we have it. We have His righteousness. And then Jesus also said to His disciples before He left, He said, my peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. He gave us His peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. A supernatural peace. A comfortably numb peace. Where you're just kind of just numb. Numb to the problems of life. Not overwhelmed by the troubles of this world. That's why Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. We can be of good cheer. It's a supernatural joy. It's the joy of God Himself. Whew, and He's a joyful God. There are scriptures in the Word of God that tells us that He sits in the heavens and laughs. He sits in the heavens and laughs. Praise God. How many would like to have the joy of God? Well, thank God you and I do. We have it. It's available to us in the kingdom of God. It's all part of God's kingdom. And we want to walk in it more and more and more and more. Get real good at it. Get real good at walking in this righteousness. We're working this righteousness out in our lives on a daily basis. Just getting skillful in righteousness. And then getting skillful at staying in peace. Staying in a place where nothing ruffles our feathers. Nothing moves us. Nothing disturbs us. We want to stay in that peace of God. And then, of course, the joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we're walking around strong in the Lord, just happy. Happy. And we've looked at scriptures. There are many scriptures that talk about being happy. God's will for you is to be happy. He doesn't want you walking around sorrowful and broken down and depressed. He doesn't want you depressed. He wants you happy. Amen. But we can't fully experience the joy of God's kingdom until we are first grieved by our earthly condition. Before we can move on over into this joy of the Lord, we have to be grieved with our condition apart from the Lord in this world. And as we consider our condition in this world apart from Him, it causes us to crave more of His presence, to crave more of Him in manifestation in our life. And in His presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. But we're not going to pursue this greater joy of the Lord unless we become grieved, unless we become saddened by the pitiful condition of our lives apart from God. In other words, we're not just going to settle for the joy of this world. We're not settling for the happiness that this world brings us. We look at that and we understand that is pitiful in comparison to what we've been created to walk in, how we've been created to live our lives. He has so much more for us. And we should know that because we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We've received tastes of His goodness. We've experienced that joy to some degree. But that has to help us to realize that there's a whole lot more where that came from. There's a whole lot more joy than I've experienced. There's a whole lot more happiness than I'm currently enjoying, I'm currently walking in. And so we should be becoming more and more hungry for more by thinking about how wonderful He is, looking at His promises, seeing what is available to us, and seeing also how far short we're falling of it on a daily basis. That should grieve us. That should grieve us, that should bother us, and cause us to just from the inside cry out for more of Him, more of this eternal life, more of this absolute unceasing fullness of life, this abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And we see that over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. Talking about our physical bodies. The body is referred to as a tent in several different places in the Word of God. You're a spirit and you live inside these bodies. You live inside your body. So your body is just like a tent that you're living in. He says, if this is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, intensely desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. We want to be clothed with this habitation that is from heaven. Remember, your spirit is currently inhabiting a physical body. But that's not good enough. We want to inhabit Him, His glory, His presence. And it's God's will for His glory to be upon you and I. That's His will for us. He wants His glory on our life so that we're not just inhabiting our bodies, but we're inhabiting His glory that fills our bodies, fills our earth suits, fills this tent that you and I live in. He says, for in this we groan earnestly. Have you groaned earnestly lately? The Bible says you do. You've grown earnestly, desiring. You got this intense desire to be clothed with your habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. Again, what is our spirit clothed with? Our bodies. And so he's saying that we're burdened. We have a desire to be clothed with more, with more, with our heavenly clothing, with our heavenly habitation. He says, not because we want to be unclothed. We're not groaning and burdened because we want to get out of these bodies. How many people want to die? I mean, you just can't wait to get out of your body and die. No, and they said, nobody wants to die. We're not looking to get out of our bodies. We want our heavenly body. We want to be clothed with the glory of God, but we don't want to have to leave our body to do it. So we're groaning for it, but yet we're not looking to get out of our body. So let there not be any misunderstanding, Lord. Not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. We're looking for more, again, of this life, this abundant life, this absolute fullness of life to just fill our physical lives in this world so much that we're just swallowed up by it. We're just swallowed up by life. Is that possible? Yes, it is. It is possible. Is it possible for death to swallow somebody up? Oh, yeah. Death in the form of disease can work in a person and just begin to break down their body and just work through their body to just consume them, to just eat them up. Right? To just swallow them up. Well, guess what? God's life works the same way. And that's what we've been created for. And when you understand what you've been created for, you understand that what you've been experiencing is just samples, just tastes of what God has for you. What's going to happen? You're going to start having a groaning about you. You're going to start getting burdened about this. From the inside, you're going to rise up and begin to cry out for more of the glory of God. Cry out for more of the glory of God. But unfortunately, so many Christians are so entangled with the affairs of this world. They're looking for just more of what this world has to offer. And it's a depressing, depressing life. Because we've been created for so much more. There is so much more for you and I in God. It's what we've been created for from the very beginning, and through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, now you and I have access to it. You and I can walk in it. We can walk in all the fullness of God. When we start getting a hold of that, we'll start looking at the temptations of this world like, what? Are you kidding me? I've been created for much greater things. Much greater things than what the devil would be trying to tempt me with. I'm telling you, temptations lose their power. They lose their temptation in our lives as we begin to get a greater taste for greater things than what this world has to offer. Because the only thing the devil can tempt us with is the things of this world. But we can get so lost in that heavenly world. We can get so lost in what God has for us. And get so stirred up in our spirits, get our faith so aroused that we desire the greater so much more. That like Jesus, when he went into the wilderness, even though he hadn't eaten for 40 days, he was so caught up in God. He had such great desire for the Father. He had such great desire for the presence of his Father and to walk in the glory of God and walk in the fullness of the plan of God for his life, that when the devil came to him and began to tempt him with food and all the things that this world had to offer, Jesus looked at him and said, "It is written." It is written. That's what Jesus' mind was. His thoughts were on something greater. He had a greater desire for greater things. And that's why when the devil tempted him, it was a little desire in comparison. It was a little desire. It wasn't an overwhelming desire. Jesus wasn't up on that mountain sweating, lusting for that stone to be made bread. He wasn't. He wasn't sitting there coveting and craving. And as the moon was rising, the reflection of the moon was shining on the bread, and it looked like butter running down the bread. Jesus, why are you there all night in the wilderness being tormented? Because of his great desire and hunger for food. And he feebly cried out, "It is written, man does not live by bread. Oh, bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Not by every word. Every word of the mouth of God." That was dramatized for your edification. Jesus wasn't like that. He was thinking about the Word. He was thinking about revelation. He was thinking about not just letters. He was thinking about the living Word of God. That's what he wanted more of. He wanted to know the Father more. He wanted to walk in the fullness of the plan of God for his life. And the only way he could do that is he had to grow in revelation of God. It was what he was living for. It was what he was craving. So when the devil tempted him with that, he just immediately spoke out of the abundance of his heart. He just spoke out of the abundance of the desires of his heart, which was, "It is written, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Oh, yeah. I want to get more revelation while I'm out here in this wilderness. I want to hear from my Father. I want to know him more, because to know him more is to be able to experience him more fully. And in his presence is a fullness of joy that this world cannot offer, and pleasures forevermore. Jesus constantly replied to the devil's temptations with, "It is written," because that was his greater desire. He understood he was created for greater things than just what this world had to offer. We need to get a hold of that. He's our example to follow. We've been created for greater thing than pasta. Thank God for good food. I enjoy good food. But we got to watch about, that's the pinnacle of our life. That's the greatest experience of our life, is to fill our bellies, to gratify our senses. We got to realize, this is what you say, "Ooh, that's delicious." But have you tasted the Word? Have you tasted and seen the Lord? Have you experienced God lately? And I'll tell you, fasting comes easy after you've walked out. It's amazing to me. There's been times I'm really hungry. But then before eating, I'll spend time with the Lord. I'll spend time in prayer. And I'll get stirred up and become real conscious of him. Just have a grand time praying in the Holy Spirit, And next thing you know, I don't have much of a desire to eat. The desire has weakened. The desire has lessened greatly, because I feel so full. I feel so satisfied with the presence of God, with the goodness of God, with my experiencing him, spirit to spirit. How many know what I'm talking about? You've had times you just feel so satisfied. And sometimes people, their hunger, their groaning for what they think is food is actually a groaning for more of the glory of God. That's why they sit down, they eat a big meal, they're stuffed, and yet they're still hungry. There's stuff, but they still crave. They're still craving, still looking, still, what can I do? Here, let's have some of this. Let's have some cookies. Let's add some of this. Let's add some of that. And they just keep doing it until they just satiate their flesh. And they just fall back on the couch and say, I think I'm going to go to sleep now. Not realizing they never satisfied the real craving that was crying out from in their spirit. There's a greater desire. There's a greater craving in every born-again believer. And it's for more of him. To be filled with him. To experience him in a greater fullness. We want more of him. But a lot of times people just think, well, if I'm hungry, it must be physical. If I have these desires, it must be physical. No, maybe it's for fellowship with him. Come on. Maybe it's for fellowship with him. And you'd be amazed that you take that time and you spend that time with him, how satisfying it is. It will cause you not to even need or even care to eat all that much. It's the greatest New Year diet plan. Crave God. Get hungry for him and begin to fill. Begin to fill yourself with more and more of him. And it'll help you. It'll help you lose weight physically. I'm just telling you the truth. There's a lot of people that are obese, they're overweight, and they just keep craving sugar, and they're craving all these things. And a lot of it's because they're trying to fill a spiritual void with physical things. They're trying to take care of something spiritually with something physical. And it'll never satisfy. So they just keep craving, they just keep craving, they just keep craving. But if we understand, if we can get a hold of this tonight and understand that the greater craving is the craving of our spirit for more of God, for more of him, for more of his glory. We were just singing how we long because we know there's so much more, right? We know there's so much more, and so that's what we're longing for. That's what we're longing for. That's what we're groaning for. Again, verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. It's actually a burden on the inside of us. We're burdened with this desire. We're not satisfied with our earthly condition. We're grieved over our earthly condition. We're groaning to be set free from this earthly condition. Not that we want to get out of our earthly bodies, but that we want more of him in our bodies. We want to be filled with more of him. We want our earthly condition changed with more of him. And it saddens us to see ourselves living an unspiritual, carnal life. It saddens us. But that sadness, that grieving, that groaning, that crying leads us to go after him, to go after more of him. And when you get more of him, you get more of his peace, more of his joy, more of his pleasures forevermore. So you're enjoying life. A whole lot more. And that's what he has for us. He has for us an enjoyable life. He has for us an exceedingly joyful and happy life. But until we become saddened and grieved with our earthly condition, with the part of our life that is still lacking him, until we get saddened and grieved about it, we will never press in with these groanings, with this burden to have more of him, and thus we will go without more of him in our life. This word groan means to sigh with grief, to groan, to sigh with grief. Don't sound happy, does it? Does it sound happy? No, but it's the key to getting happy. It's the key to being swallowed up with life. Swallowed up with fullness of life. Oh, hallelujah. Abundant life. And notice what he says in verse 3. He says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. He has given you the Holy Spirit by which he has prepared us for this very thing. For one thing, to be swallowed up by life. Being swallowed up by life, there is no fear of death swallowing you up. No fear of some kind of disease eating you up. Disease, you can't eat me up. I'm being eaten up by the life of God. Right? Then when Jesus went into the temple and he drove the money changers out of there, right? Went ballistic. And then the disciples remembered the scriptures that said, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Zeal, passion. This burdensome desire has eaten me up, swallowed me up. He is swallowed up with zeal for God's house. That's what you and I have been created for, to be swallowed up with zeal for him, swallowed up with passion for him, swallowed up with this life of God. It's a passionate life. It's an intense life. Come on. You and I aren't to live in mediocrity. You and I aren't just to make do in life, go through life passive, just watching the days go by. I was at the gym this morning and a song came on the radio and the singer, part of the lyrics was, we're two, it was from Pink Floyd, and he said, we're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl year after year. I thought, my God, I used to sing that song. Not I, but the person that used to inhabit the body that I live in now. Now there's a new creation there. We're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl year after year. I wish you were here. Wish you were here. Thanks anyway. I say, wish you were here. Then he says, we're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl. Who in the world wants to go there? Be there with him. Just swim year after year swimming in a fishbowl. Reminds me of another one of their famous songs. Just another brick in the wall. All in all, we're just another brick in the wall. Happy when I'm talking about. Stay away from that stuff. Just another brick in the wall. That reminds me of another song by a band named Kansas. And they used to sing, all we are is just dust in the wind. Everything is just dust in the wind. People sing this. People pay money to listen to this. People sit there with their headphones on the couch with the lights out. And they meditate on these things and they identify with this. This is who I am. This is what I am. It's deep. It's pathetic. I said it's pathetic. That's not who we are. Glory be to God. We're living stones. Hallelujah. We're a part of God's household. God inhabits us. God wants to be upon us. We're to be arrayed in his splendor. I'm telling you, his life is an intense life. It's a passionate life. He wants us filled with this passion. He wants us to be living life to the full. Overcome with his presence. Swallowed up. Overcome. Overjoyed. Overjoyed. Overlive an overjoyed life. I mean, we're overheating with joy. But we're not breaking down. We're not going to end up on the side of the road, praise God. But we're just overheating with the joy of the Lord. How do we get there? Number one, we recognize this is what we've been created for. This is what we've been created for. I cannot settle. I cannot settle for just status quo Christian life. I can't settle for that. You can't settle for that anymore. We got to get disgusted with it. I said, we got to get disgusted with it. Got to get fed up with it. Got to say, enough is enough. I can't live like this anymore. Father, I got to have you. Father, I got to know you. I got to experience you more. I have tasted of you. I've experienced you. I know how good you are. I've got to have more of you. Oh, God, I've got to have more of you. And we become burdened and grieved over our lack of him, our lack of the knowledge of him. So that we're crying out for him. We're sighing with grief over these things. Groaning means sigh with grief. Lament. Feel or express sorrow. That's what lament means. Mourn. Bewail. Weep deeply. So yes, does God want you laughing? Yeah. Does he want you happy? Oh, yeah. How are we going to get there? By crying. Weeping. Bewailing. That's intense. Bewailing. That's weeping deeply. Amen. We need to become tender before God. Contrite before him. Recognizing there's so much more for us. Pride is hard. Pride is hard-heartedness. And it's walking around insensitive to God, insensitive to what it's been created for. And it's all entangled with the affairs of this life. It's all caught up in earthly things. And it prides itself on what it has according to the flesh and judges others based on what they have or don't have according to the flesh. You and I need to become humble, contrite, before God. People have used the word broken. Broken before him. Broken of the flesh. Just broken. We're not going to allow this flesh to dominate us. We're not going to let these earth suits control us. No. I got to have more. I got to have more of you. So we humble ourselves before him. And we cry out to him. Notice in Psalm 51. See, if we don't do this, if we don't humble ourselves and become contrite before the Lord, if we don't become grieved with our earthly condition apart from him, then any joy we walk in is just going to be superficial. It's just going to be superficial. But we want to go deeper into God. We want to go into the greater that he has for us. Don't you? Don't you? Don't let the flesh cause you to settle for a carnal life. Don't let that pride keep you dull and indifferent, different to God and the kind of life he created you for. Don't you allow the flesh to do that to you and cause you to satiate your flesh so that you're just dull and insensitive to the craving and the desire in your spirit. We're not going to let that happen anymore. Notice this here, Psalm 51, verse 16. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. See, that's a spirit that's broken free of the control of the flesh. It's broken free. It's not just dominated by the flesh. You know, it's kind of like you think of an egg, you know. You break that outer shell, and then that liquid, that yolk, comes out. You know, you can liken that to you. The outer shell is your flesh, and the spirit is the yolk on the inside. Of course, the flesh can be a whole lot harder than an eggshell. Oh man, it could be as hard as a rock. The more you feed it and the more you exercise it, and I'm not talking about working out, I'm talking about allowing it to express its ugly self, express its opinion, express its anger, express its jealousy, express its lust and its rage and all these ugly things. The more we just allow it to go and give it everything it wants, the harder that thing becomes. And we got to recognize when we're becoming hard, dull, and indifferent towards God. We got to recognize when the flesh is dominating us. We got to get mad about it. We can't allow that to be. We got to break free. We got to break our spirit free of that hardness of the flesh. This is what God's looking for. He says, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. That word contrite, it means filled with a sense of remorse or regret for sin. Repentant. So there's a remorse for the sins that have hardened our heart. We hate it. We're grieved about it. There's a remorse about us. We recognize the way I've been talking and the way I've been thinking, the way I've been acting has hardened me towards God. It's made me indifferent towards Him. And so we're remorseful about that. Whenever you see yourself, you've allowed the flesh to dominate you. You shouldn't just allow that. You shouldn't just let your flesh get by with it. You should take it before God. Throw yourself on the ground. Break yourself free of it by repenting. Say, Father, forgive me. I was mouthy. Father, forgive me for my attitude. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be like that because I know it hinders me from you, from experiencing you, knowing you, and having more of your life in manifestation in my life. I'm burdened with it. I'm groaning over it. I'm upset about this. I'm weeping over this. I will even bewail, weep deeply because of my sin, because of my bad attitude, because of my spiritual laziness, because of allowing myself to put other things above God, above His word, above His presence. Bewail these things. Contrite is talking about being very sensitive, tender to the touch concerning both good and evil. You're tender. You recognize when something's not right in your life, you're tender to, oh, it bothers you. It's like you're sore, you know? The other day, my kids were sleigh riding down a hill by our house. And my son has this little single board. You kind of balance yourself on it. And he kept getting on the thing, falling down, getting on the thing, falling down. I thought, well, bless God, it can't be that hard. So I got out of the car, and I mustered up the courage. I thought, what is the big deal here? Now, the last time, a couple years ago, I went down on a sled and wiped out. I haven't been on a sled since. So anyway, I thought, praise God, I could do this. So I said, son, step back, give this to me. All right, here we go, ready? And I went further than he went. I went about 2 feet further. And then it was all downhill from there. Actually, I didn't get down the hill. I just went, bam, right there. And I was sore. But you see, I was sore. See, I felt it. When you and I fall to the flesh, we give in to the pride and the arrogance of this world. We become worldly. We become indifferent towards God. We immediately feel it in our spirit. We're sore. Oh. See, I knew the next day that I had fallen the day before because I felt it. I felt it. I was sore there. You need to feel it. You need to feel it. You need to feel every little thing that is contrary to God. You need to feel every little thing that causes you to build up calluses around your spirit, making you indifferent to the life of God that you've been called to live. You need to feel that. Oh, I'm sore. Oh, I'm sore about something. What is it? And then you get before God and you find out, yeah, just a bad attitude, whatever it is. whatever it might be. It could be a bunch of things. Oh, Lord, I repent. Lord, I repent. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, God. And there's a time to spend time with God to the point where you are in a state of weeping and crying. This isn't something, you're not crying all the time, but there's a time to weep. There's a time to cry, and it's a good cry. It's a cry of repentance. It's a cry for more of Him. It's a cry that says, God, I got to have you more in manifestation in my life. And it's a cry that does not go unanswered. It's a cry that brings about a transformation in our life. Because as you're groaning, being burdened in your spirit, and you're crying out to God, as you're doing that, you're being transformed. That inner man is rising up and beginning to touch more of Him. Touch more of the life of God. He says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. We can say, those who hunger and thirst for joy, because remember, righteousness, joy, and peace, they all come together. He who hungers and thirsts for more of this joy and this enjoyable life that God has for him. And they're not willing to settle for the enjoyable things that the world offers them. He says, they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Hallelujah. So it's a crying out in faith. Yes, faith cries. Faith laughs, and faith cries. It does both. It cries out for more of the living God. Hallelujah. In fact, if you're not good at crying out to God by the Spirit, by the help of the Holy Spirit, out of your spirit. Remember, your spirit and the Holy Spirit are one spirit. You guys work together as a team, Holy Spirit and you. You and your spirit and the Spirit of God work together as a team. If you're not good at crying and being tender before Him, you're not going to be good at laughing in the Holy Spirit. And this joy and this peace is in the Holy Spirit. So we got to get good at both. If you want the joy, and I like the joy a whole lot better. I love when I get over into laughing. I love the joy of the Lord. Praise God. Love that. But that weeping and that crying that comes deep, being burdened, that's not always pleasurable to feel burdened. But it leads you into a deeper place of joy. Leads you into a deeper place of joy. We live in a world that's very desensitized to sin. To what's wrong. It's amazing how people could just turn on the news and watch all these killings, all the violence, all these atrocities. How they could just watch these things and not even bother them. Just hear about one murder after the other, one killing after the other, and it's just how we go to bed at night watching the news. Not a big deal. That speaks of the indifference that you and I have in our hearts. We need to cry. We need tears of weeping over the sinful condition and lost state of mankind. Mankind is pitifully lost, terribly lost, lost in sin, lost in darkness, bound. All kinds of terrible bondages. We see it every day. People just driving their life right off the cliff, headed for total destruction. People headed towards hell. We see it. We see them around us all the time, celebrating a lifestyle that leads right to hell. And before they even reach hell, there's a tormenting life that they have in this life, in this world. And we need to be grieved, not by our own condition, but we also need to be grieved by the condition of this world. A grieving that leads us to cry for the world. To cry out to God on behalf of the world. The world needs God. America needs revival. America needs a visitation from God. And it can't just be something that's just, it would be nice. Wouldn't a revival be nice? That'd be kind of cool. That'd be kind of neat. It'd be kind of neat to see, you know, to see a revival. I'd like that. It ain't worthy of it. That attitude will never get it done. It's when we're crying out for it. Gotta have it. We're burdened. We're burdened over the condition of mankind apart from God. Condition over our lives where we're lacking in walking in the fullness of God, so that we cry out because we want more for ourselves. We want more of Him. We've been created for more. We want it. We want that more. And then also tender towards the condition of mankind, seeing how people are so lost, so self-destructive in their ways. To see how they're just destroying even the next generation, just setting children up for a destructive future. It's going on around us all the time. We see these things. It's time to be grieved with what grieves the Spirit of God. He came to die for the world, to set the world free. God was so passionate about saving the world from their lost condition, He had Himself become flesh and be nailed to a tree and tortured. He took our sins upon Himself. He took our pains upon Himself to free mankind. Well, He wasn't consumed, see, with the things of the flesh. He was living in the presence of His Father, very conscious of His Father. Jesus was the presence of God in manifestation. Fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. And yet you see Him weeping over Jerusalem. Right? Weeping over Jerusalem. Weeping there at Lazarus' grave. The Bible says Jesus wept. He wept. He was tender. He felt people's pain. He saw people crying and it hurt Him. He says through the prophet Isaiah, in all their affliction, I was afflicted. He was afflicted. He's afflicted with other people's afflictions. And the epistles tell us that you and I should want to bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Care enough for one another to get in there and bear those burdens. Maybe it's a prayer burden. Maybe it's a prayer burden. A groaning, being burdened for where other people are at. Burden for where they're at, wanting to see them set free, wanting to see them experience the liberty and the joy of the Lord. Huh? Amen. Man, that's all on the inside of us. I said it's all on the inside of us. Glory be to God. Let's stir it up. Let's stir it up. Let's get fed up. That's where it starts. Stir it up, get fed up, and say, you know what? I've been created for a whole lot more. I've been created to walk in the steps of Jesus. Walk in the steps of Jesus. Walk in the love of God. Walk in the presence of God like Jesus did. Walk in the power of God like Jesus did. Walk with the kind of tender heart that Jesus had towards the world, towards others. A lay your life down kind of heart. The Apostle Paul, he had gotten a hold of it. He had gotten a hold of his heart. He was tender. He's the one that wrote about groaning. We groan. He did a lot of groaning. Being burdened, but man, he was a man God used to turn the world upside down. I have no doubt that that man walked in some kind of joy. That's why he said in all his tribulations, in all his afflictions, whether it be prison or wherever, whatever he went through, and he went through, he was beaten, he went through more than you and I understand. And yet, he said, in all of it, he had great joy. He was exceedingly joyful. He said, we're exceedingly joyful in all tribulation. See, I mean, he had some kind of joy, didn't he? But he also had some kind of burden for more of Him. He said, to know Him, that's my greatest thing, to know Him and the power of His resurrection. To know Him, I want to be like Him. And then he also turned around and said that he would, if he could, want to be cut off for Israel's sake. In other words, he was saying, man, if my going to hell would save Israel and allow them to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved, he said, I'd do it. I'd do it. That's bearing some kind of burden for Israel, isn't it? He had such a heart for people. Where'd this come from? Spending time with God, stirring up the reality of who he is in Christ. What is this all about, man? What have we been hearing? We've been hearing about a life that God has for us. An absolute fullness of life. Jesus didn't just come to give us ticket to heaven. He came to give us fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore right here on this side of heaven. Glory to God, to live an intense, overflowing, overwhelming kind of life. Hallelujah. Full of the love of God. Full of the passion of God for mankind. For God himself. For his presence and his joy. And bless God, you and I are going to live it. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm not going to settle for status quo Christianity. I'm not going to settle for it. I'm going after the more God has created me for. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Let's just praise him and thank him. He is such a good God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.